844.
Obama hits the road to talk about health care on the heels of addressing Wall Street about regulations and the need for them so the bailouts don't ever have to continue with the high-dollar boys on the streets, but didn't seem as though there was any proposals there that I could see of. And that's how we start this show. Hey, hey, everybody. Hope you're having a good one wherever you are ensconced across the United States. We're happy to have you here on America Tonight. Some sad news. Patrick Swayze, the actor who danced his way into a lot of women's hearts anyway, was even voted the sexiest man alive once by People magazine, died at 57 after a battle with pancreatic cancer. There's been a lot of reaction to Patrick Swayze's death, people pulling for him. I think he was one of those guys, but also, as I said, melted women's hearts for the sort of moderate success he had as an actor. He was in some big films, but he wasn't a blockbuster superstar kind of guy. We have more controversy when it comes to Acorn, yet another video revealing scandal in New York City this time. So, finally, the housing grants were blocked because you've got three pretty raw videos that show some of the shenanigans that are happening with that organization. So how can you continue to fund Acorn? But not very many people are talking about it. You had Acorn, you had four Acorn workers in Baltimore and Washington who helped a filmmaker by posing as a pimp to apply for an illegal housing loan for a brothel. Now you've got a third video that's made it to the surface showing Acorn workers offering the same kind of assistance, if you will, at the Acorn office in Brooklyn. And once again, undercover stings led to catching the guy who was filming it and his partner who posed as a prostitute, and again, receiving advice from Acorn workers on how to launder their earnings and avoid, this is the key, avoid detection from the cops while running a prostitution business. So that's the deal. And you think about the government and you think about how much money is being dished out to Acorn, and it is pretty infuriating, I have to say. I mean, it is, right? And the video, it doesn't play well on radio, but rest assured, the video, you can see it on biggovernment.com. It was shot sometime apparently in August, and you've got, you know, the scenario that I mentioned, the prostitute and who's scantily dressed and earns up to 10 grand a month performing tricks and tries to obtain housing in somebody else's name, and then they basically tell them the steps to do it, how to get the money. So Acorn isn't saying very much about this in light of these things that have been revealed, but you just wonder how many more of these are out there, basically how to lie to the IRS. And of course we know that Acorn has been accused of voter fraud during the last presidential election by helping people who certainly weren't qualified to vote, even dead people, to try to register their names. But for some reason, it's not getting a lot of play. I mean, you were talking about a lot of money that they're trying to show people how to get under the wire, as I said, in these three different videos. And this is just actually the latest one. So I'm glad some of that funding has been cut off. But I think they should really go a step further. Enough is enough. I mean, turnabout's fair play if you think about it. I think Acorn, they should possibly think about just completely freezing the funds. Just freeze the funds, get to the bottom of it, see, I mean, not even possibly, just freeze the funds, investigate, get to the bottom of it, and that'll let the cockroaches crawl away, and if they can find a way to clean it up, fine, but don't push any more money in this direction. Speaking of money, that's at the heart of the healthcare debate. Should everybody have health insurance? Should there be a public option, a single payer? The things that we have been talking about for months, really since July. As I mentioned, the president is hitting the road to sell healthcare reform in a couple of different states, and then he's going to appear on the tube on Sunday on five shows on Sunday morning. How he's going to do that is just going to be crazy wicked going from studio to studio, and it is definitely the message is all about health care. Well, there are certainly lots of opinions, most of them from the GOP, not in the direction of rah-rah, let's push this thing through and let's jump on board and get a bipartisan bill done in the current form of where it sits. Here's what Senator Bob Corker, a Republican from Tennessee, had to say about some of the plans that are floating around and really how you can advance this debate instead of having it stuck.
Well, I think what we saw Wednesday night was more of a sort of a Iowa primary kind of talk to consolidate the president's base. And I understand why he needed to do that. I think now we need to move beyond that and see the text of what is their plan. I mean, I think for us to have a real debate, we need to understand the details. Much of what was said was sort of a poll-tested collage, if you will, of healthcare ideas. I think, you know, obviously healthcare is something where details matter, and I think seeing that text would be very important to all of us as far as actually advancing the debate. Well, I do think, as was mentioned by Mr. Gibbs, the Finance Committee will be working to try to do something by the 21st of February. By the 21st of September. But the fact is that the president has talked about his plan, what he wants to advance. These five committees are doing anything but working in conjunction. I mean, to take the House bill, which I don't think many people consider to be a very serious piece of work, or to take the Health Committee bill in the Senate Finance Committee, and the Senate is also not something that people perceive to be very serious. To sort of take those and mold those into a piece of legislation really is not possible. So I do think that taking some basic concepts that actually have text, that we understand what those policies will mean, is an important thing, and that has not yet occurred. Okay.
All right, so I think he's dead on again, talking about there's lots of window dressing, but what we keep saying this, it's, I hate to be a parrot on this show because I'm about solutions, not about retread and going over the same conversation, but we're not forwarding the conversation. What about tort reform? What about erasing the lines on the map for competitive insurance rates where you could cross over to a neighboring state and get a better rate? You know, that's been thrown out there, but has it really been considered? One thing for sure that's been considered is what Senator Max Baucus is proposing. He's the leader, remember, of the bipartisan negotiations on health care legislation. He's saying the bill, this after everything that happened, of course, with the confusion over the illegal immigrants, he's saying his bill that was a proposal by the White House to bar illegal immigrants from buying health care coverage through a new insurance marketplace or exchange, even if the illegal immigrants were willing and able to pay the full costs. So get it? They're barring them from doing that. So that's been a change. Before, that wasn't really clear in the last bill. Now, the bill would say that hospitals, emergency centers would still have to treat illegal immigrants, that the federal government would continue to reimburse hospitals for unpaid bills. You know what that cost is right now? $250 million a year. Stay with us.
If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, RMApply.com has a message that is vitally important for you and your family. Did you know that you may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM benefits? Visit RMApply.com and apply for free to see how much you are entitled to. Right now, people just like you are taking advantage of their benefits and using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, and support this show's sponsors. You may be entitled to hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's your money, and you're entitled to it. Apply for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Or call them today for a free, no-obligation evaluation to see how much you qualify for. Call 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155 today.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
If you suffer from arthritis, aches, or pains, RxMagnets.com has the answer you've been looking for. RxMagnets.com carries three amazing products that can help relieve the pain that you live with each day. The liquid magnet complex will boost energy and mental clarity, help relieve headaches, psoriasis, itching, inflammation, and even toothaches. The Magnetic Care Cream helps relieve sprains, bruises, acne, insect bites, liver spots, scars, and stretch marks. The RX Magnets help aid in sleep, relieves arthritis pain, and sinus congestion. Whatever your ailment, be sure to visit RxMagnets.com for more information and to see which product will work best for you. With over 30 years of experience, these specially designed patented products are developed with the highest quality materials and are backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxMagnets.com today. That's RxMagnets.com, RxMagnets.com, or call 866-528-1481. That's 866-528-1481 today.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue River. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on, you are like
it. Overwhelmingly, most of the email that I've gotten in this past month, of course, relates to health care. If you want to sound off about anything else, feel free to do that, too. We go to our mailbag, I promise. We try to go every night, but if we don't hit it every night, we do it at least a couple of times a week. AmericaTonight.net.
You have mail, mistress.
I love that sound. You have mail, mistress. I know, and some of it, I love it. I diggity dig it when people have a different opinion. I welcome that opinion on the air. If you are extremely liberal or you don't even label yourself anything, you just have a much different opinion than mine or some of the callers, please challenge, debate, join the conversation. That's the idea of America Tonight, is to continue that conversation, right? So here's the deal. Speaking of continuing the conversation, we've talked about, you know, ad nauseum healthcare, and we should, because it affects every single one of us, whether you have money, don't have money. You're working in the coal mine, trying to just make an honest living, doing whatever it is that you do, period. And I've been there. I've had to scrape it together for health care. I've worked for companies that didn't have health care, and I had to get it on my own. I've been on COBRA. Probably some of you have been on COBRA. If you're lucky enough and you're in a profession and you stay in one place, you know, it's a different thing. But first of all, most of those days are gone now, not necessarily for everybody, but for a lot of people. It's a different world. There's a lot of working at home. There's a lot of people starting their own businesses. There's more entrepreneurs than ever, mostly some because they have great ideas and they're willing to pursue them, but some out of necessity. So the world is certainly of business is rapidly changing. But regardless, the days of getting the big send-off and the gold watch and retiring with a nice chunk of money and a nest egg and no worries, oof, very unreachable for a lot of people. So I can tell you all kinds of stories about healthcare, horror stories I know with people in my own life. And luckily, knock on wood, I haven't had that, because I've always somehow managed to have cover, you know, be covered by health care wherever it was that I was working in this fabulous business of broadcasting. So I welcome any of your thoughts, absolutely. So here's the deal. America Tonight, you think America Tonight, and, you know, it's about America. It's about a slice of America, the water cooler buzz, whether sometimes it's the lighter, fun stuff that we talk about because, for goodness sake, we don't want to just stand on the bully pulpit and smash our fist every single day, even though we know it's a nation of with some problems, and I'm as concerned as anybody else. But we also have these ancillary things that come up that are far from, I guess, the word, but things that I don't understand why they're controversial. I don't understand why we sometimes cannot go with the flow, and here is one of them. This has come up a ton. So here we are, kids back in school, and what is the there are lots of controversies, but what is the biggest controversy? Not Obama talking to the students. No, no, no. Once again, it's about the Pledge of Allegiance. Here's what the scoop is on the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, how many states do the kids start their day in some classroom somewhere where they do a Pledge of Allegiance? Well, there are states that are opting out of doing that. And they're telling students, you don't have to pledge allegiance. You can do that, okay? There's no reason that you have to feel like you have to do it. So every state's different. New Mexico, it came up with them as to what the students should do. Last month, the education secretary there said that students are allowed to say they don't want to pledge. But they did reject in that state the ACLU-backed amendment that would require schools to inform parents and students that they have the option. In Florida, schools tried to do it a different way. They announced a new policy. Students don't have to participate as long as they have a letter from their mother or father saying, my kid doesn't have to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, do you think it's that awful to do the Pledge of Allegiance, for goodness sake? I mean, we've done the tribute for how long since that oath was ever written? Back in 1892. Here's where the controversy kicks in. In the way it was originally written, the words under God weren't there. They were added in 1954. Of course, the problem is, remember, it was the whole McCarthy era, Cold War, all that sort of stuff, and tensions were pretty high in the U.S. So now 36 states have laws requiring that the Pledge of Allegiance be recited daily in public schools. But the oath, as it's written, upsets a lot of people in this country because they don't like the one nation under God. And there is a guy I'm trying to get on the show, and I will get him, the Reverend Barry Lynn. He's the executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. He's been on Fox News and I'm sure CNN and a whole bunch of other stations over the years. So there is a renewed interest in this. 36 states have laws that say the Pledge of Allegiance, like I said, should be recited in the schools, but a lot of people are not happy with that. And he is pushing that, saying we are not one nation under God, that they shouldn't lie to students, and there's no way we can require them to say it. But look, I think it's great that we say the Pledge of Allegiance. I said the Pledge of Allegiance when I was a kid in all my classrooms. I went to a school that had a lot of different people, now that I think about it, especially my high school, and we did the Pledge of Allegiance. So, I mean, isn't that part of our heritage, part of our background? We constantly have to, are editing ourselves, constantly editing ourselves. I mean, I like the Pledge of Allegiance. I like the way it sounds, the way it is. You know, I mean, please give me a break here. I don't think it's that big of a deal. How offensive is that to people? So the Supreme Court ruled in 1943 that mandating a student to participate in the oath was unconstitutional. It was a violation of the First Amendment right to free speech. Now you got the ACLU. There are other critics. They're taking it further. They're arguing that they don't support the oath at all. They should be told up front they're not required to recite the words at all, period, end of story. This is what I'm saying. Why do we have to have these constant, I think it's a waste of breath. I don't understand how it's just so god-awful for some second grader, fifth grader, sixth grader to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. To tell you the truth, do the kids really think about it that much? I mean, there's your other thing. Do they really think about saying it that much? And then you could argue, well, that's like being in church and you're just memorizing a bunch of prayers. You're saying them. You're not thinking about, you know, what's going on in church. But this isn't a church. I don't think it's a church issue. Yeah, you have the under God. But I don't understand why that it has to be such a big deal. Matt, in the school that you went to, did you say the Pledge of Allegiance? Do you remember?
I remember saying it, I think, in first and second, I don't know, first through fourth grade, maybe, and then all of a sudden, it just wasn't a thing. We never had to say it anymore. I know definitely in middle school I didn't say it, in high school I didn't say it.
Probably somebody complained, that's enough, we don't want to talk about that anymore. Yeah, when you're a little kid, now sometimes that's what happens, like you said. I know I did it. I was in New York then, and I know I was in a public school, and we did it. And then I went to private school when we moved to Philly, Jersey. And we did have it then, too. We did have it for a while. But as I got older, maybe it's a thing about age. We didn't do it as we got older that I can remember. But once in a while, we did.
I remember, I think what the purpose of it was, they made us do it so we'd know it.
That's what I think, too. Memorize it.
Kind of like, okay, you know it. Now we're done with it.
Yeah, that's what I think it was, too. Because you're little, you're really little. You're in kindergarten, you're in first grade,
right.
You're working on those skills of trying to remember things about the country, about letters, about numbers, and that's exactly what I would have said. That's very well put. That's exactly what I'm sure the push was in our school. Plus uniformity. Hey, you come to school, you're teaching these kids. You take your lunchbox, you get off the bus, you have lunchtime, you hang up your coat, you have recess, and we start each day with a Pledge of Allegiance, and then we go to math, and then we do spelling. That's what I think, too.
Yeah, my mom was a second grade teacher, and I used to go into her class and help out, and I'm trying to remember if they did it, because they were, you know, obviously they were a lot younger than I was by the time, you know, because I helped out, you know, from third grade until high school, and I think they still did it even when my mom, retired a couple of years ago, so.
All right, so some schools do it, some schools don't. Don't you think this is much ado about nothing? But it's serious business because, I mean, there's all-out war on the Pledge of Allegiance, and I don't know, I'm just lost for words for this. I'm at a loss. I don't understand. 800-259-5791.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
When it comes to emergency preparedness, you know it's the responsible thing to do for you and your family. You also know that preparedness, though a necessity, can cost hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Unfortunately, in these tough economic times, most cannot get ready for emergency situations. For many, preparedness has been placed on the back burner. This year has been tough for everyone, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't have any less of a chance in a crisis. That's why Ready Reserve is offering wholesale pricing to the public. When you're ready, give us a call, and we'll work with your budget and family size to help you grow your preparedness needs. The worst thing you can do is nothing. Ready Reserve Foods is here to help you make that first affordable step. Call Ready Reserve now and ask for a free catalog. Call 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Ready Reserve Foods. 1-800-453-2202. Making preparedness simple since 1972.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
In 1965, this was the sound. Commission's done. One more time. One more time. One more time. Playing the tea. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come here, mama. And get the play in the sea.
Forever the summer of 2009, and probably the fall for that matter, will be known as the great healthcare reform debate across the nation. Everybody has an opinion. Boy, you can talk about all kinds of things that are going on in the world and closer to home, but let me tell you, nothing ignites an argument like discussing what should happen with the future of our healthcare system. Really, we're talking about insurance. It's really health insurance reform. They should sort of change that name. There are other things attached to it, but we don't, you know, what are those other things? Tort reform, how far does it go, all that sort of stuff. It comes down to the basics of who's insured, who's not, what kind of a system do we have? Do we stay with the system we have and tweak it, or do we dramatically alter it? And politicians are certainly not at a loss for words on this one, and they shouldn't be, because they know that their constituents now are well aware of the conversations and well aware of the impact of the decisions that could be made in the very near future that affect all of us, whether you're in South Carolina, New Jersey, Illinois, wherever, you get my drift. And speaking of South Carolina, Jim DeMint, the senator from South Carolina, one of them anyway, not at a loss for words in talking about where we're headed.
You can't solve a problem if you don't know what caused it. And so far, the president and members of Congress have not recognized the role that government played in this downfall. Certainly Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and that involvement in securitizing these toxic assets were key to the problem. And abnormally low interest rates were the result, well, encouraged over leverage. So there's a role the government played that we haven't agreed to fix. Certainly there are a number of things that we can do to make the financial industry work better. But so far the president has has blamed this on capitalism and free markets, when in fact I think it's mostly the result of bad government policy. No, I don't think we need any more centralized power. We do need a good system, a regulatory system that is enforceable and understandable. Right now, the SEC is so bureaucratic, so big, that I don't think they can even enforce their own rules. So we've created a burdensome system that obviously doesn't work. So more regulation is not necessarily going to solve the problem. We just need smarter regulation.
All right, well said. We just need smarter regulation. That's the deal. Look, we're being bombarded by greed and the power grab and corporations buying up politicians, because let's face it, that exists. And all of us are going in further and further into debt, into, I think in a lot of cases, losing hope. And we got to get out of this struggle. So this whole thing of healthcare, in a way, has lit the fuse, which ultimately has led to a lot of the conversation. A lot of the conversation at the town halls, even if it wasn't played up on the tube as much, was sensible. A lot of people asked the same questions. Just tell us what it's going to cost. If I don't have health insurance, I'm willing to pay for it, but can I get affordable health insurance? What are the options? What can you offer me? And, you know, you never really get the clear answers. If there is legislation to be had, let's hope that all of the opinions and all of the people that came out of the shadows to try to have conversations with their senators or their Congress folks who have a stake in the game, let's hope that some of that got through. And that's what you're hearing from guys like DeMint. You know, it's like this whole pharma thing. It's like big pharma, right? So you got the drug industry's trade group that's going to roll out a whole bunch of television commercials in the next couple of weeks. And they're going to support Senator Baucus' health care overhaul proposal. That's what they're planning to do. Somewhere in there that will be said, right? Now, this is what happened. This is kind of a follow-up. It's not kind of. It is a follow-up to the deal that the drug guys struck up in June with Baucus and the White House. Under this pact, the industry agreed to a bunch of givebacks and discounts that would reduce the nation's pharmaceutical spending by $80 billion over 10 years. So they strike that agreement, and then you had this trade group, of course, the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, Pharma, who also set aside $150 million for advertising to support healthcare legislation. Now, the president has said, as you know, in many of his speeches, that the deal with the group is awesome, that it shows significant progress, a new era of cooperation. But you look at the advertising fund and how this will slam the alternative approaches to healthcare, right? While you look, for example, like Henry Waxman from California, what he's saying, and he's a Democrat, is he's looking for drug industry givebacks that aren't covered in the deal. Because what are they? We don't even know what they are, right? I mean, you're talking about all of this commercial stuff being pumped out there. And as I said, what will get lost in the sauce is what the alternatives are. And Waxman is absolutely right on that. I guess it's a series of advertisements with big bucks behind it that are meant to alleviate people's fears, I guess, especially when it comes to the pharmaceutical side of this whole thing. But put that aside for a second, right? And you talk about this money. And you talk about the advertising spending. I mean, don't you think that the drug makers should have to make deeper concessions than what they've already agreed to? So you think of the amount of money and what the United States got. Even this director of the liberal nonprofit research group, Knowledge Ecology International, I was stunned when I saw this quote. He's critical of it. And he's saying the same thing. He's saying, you know, what the United States basically gets is not $80 billion, but $150 million in Obama campaign contributions. And that's dead on right. I think that what the tag is now, they're saying $880 billion over 10 years, according to the Congressional Budget Office. I think you're looking at a much bigger number. You know, in Massachusetts, because of what they're going through, remember, oh, no, look at what the state originally tried to do to try to get everybody covered health care. They've got such a shortage of primary doctors, and it gets worse and worse every single year since that almost universal coverage. The state, remember, required pretty much universal coverage, what was it, back in 2006. So they're having problems, right? Imagine what happens if in the current form and with this in-the-back-pocket drug makers deal, ultimately what that does to your health insurance and what it does to my health insurance. I'll tell you what it does is it makes me uncomfortable because we don't know if there's anything else in that agreement, and I don't think there is. I think it's pretty, I think it's pretty straightforward. And so to me, it is more about campaign issues than anything else. All right, there's a couple of things I haven't gotten to during this show, and I apologize for that because I got on the healthcare, you know, soapbox, obviously. We're talking about a couple of other things that were going on in the U.S. And one thing that I want to dive into is what happened in New York. The fact that once again, I mean, here we've got the FBI, we have the local cops involved in this, and it looks like there were members of Al-Qaeda of a cell that apparently were in some New York homes over the weekend. Pretty scary stuff when you think about it. And this is, we're coming off of the 8-year anniversary of 9/11, so, you know, New York City. And I guess the good news is that the tracking is working and they're looking at dangerous situations. So it was a preventative move. There was a lot of speculation and the raids apparently had nothing to do with Obama's visit to New York because there was some speculation about that. And they happened in Flushing and Queens. They had a search warrant. It was an ongoing investigation and they don't have anything that specifically nails a plot against the president or any of that kind of stuff because like I said, he was going to be in town, but they're pretty confident that they have other things. And this was the Joint Terrorism Task Force that was part of the raid. And the situation was that they had been watching these guys, and they had been watching them for a very long time and felt like they had some connections with weapons, possibly some other things that they would be able to tie up the suspects with and tie them to some kind of future terroristic thing that could have happened in the United States or elsewhere. But they knew that they were linked to Al-Qaeda, and that's the thing. And here's what we keep saying. You just don't know. You just don't know where somebody's assimilating. It's not being paranoid. It's not fear-mongering. It just makes sense to be alert and to know that as much as we're trying to tie the CIA's hands behind their back, they have to be more vigilant than, you know, than ever. They wouldn't be raiding buildings, and they wouldn't get those subpoenas if they didn't have enough evidence to think that they had something going down. And, you know, you start to talk about, these aren't splinter groups, you start to talk about groups that are tied to what I call the mothership, and, you know, you're living in Queens, you're living in Flushing. To me, that's pretty scary when you see the guys with the jackets come down, bust down the doors, walk out with some guns, walk out with a couple of other things. They were looking for powders. They were looking for bomb materials. They were looking for gels. They were looking for fuses. And guess what? The apartment was shared by 5 men from Afghanistan who they believe were tied to Al-Qaeda. Stay with us.
Are you constantly tired? Have a hard time concentrating? Experience muscle weakness or have problems with digestion? The solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body. Liquid Zeolite, available only at RestoreYourHealthNow.com, captures toxins and physically carries them out of your body. This safe and effective way of detoxifying can easily remove heavy metals and contaminants. Studies show that Liquid Zeolite captures triggering antigens which cause allergies, migraines, and asthma, decreasing the rate and severity of these symptoms. liquid Zeolite is a tasteless and odorless liquid that, when taken daily, supports a healthy, happy, and active lifestyle in an increasingly toxic world. And liquid Zeolite is so gentle that you won't even know you're taking it. Although your list of ailments may be endless, the solution is simple. Try liquid Zeolite for yourself by visiting RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Or call 1-800-976-0025. That's 1-800-976-0025 today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week Start Page Challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of Start Page and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
So we get a nice break, as I like to say, in the action. Although, do we really these days? If you saw what happened with Serena Williams. How about this? I was stunned by this as I was watching it unfold. I thought it was a layup for Roger Federer. Honestly, I thought it was going to be 6 straight times for Federer. He looked like he was cruising. He wins the first set 6-3, and then he loses in a tiebreaker the second set to Juan Martín del Potro. And what happens in the third set? In the third set, Roger Federer comes back and wins it 6-4. And then he has a chance to close the door in the fourth set. It goes to a tiebreaker, and Del Potro wins that again. So then in the final set, he ends up beating Federer 6-2. The bottom line is the king of tennis and dominance is knocked off by a 20-year-old Argentinian who prevailed to snap that streak of 5 straight U.S. Open titles. Wow. And this is he's got a lot of speed. He's got good strokes, but he hadn't beaten Federer in 6 times that they met and the 6 previous times that they were on the court. I was so shocked. Federer would have become the first guy since Bill Tilden in the 20s did it to win our U.S. Open 6 straight times. How about that? And, again, you got to give the kid credit. What a U.S. Open it turned out to be. He knocked off Rafa Nadal, and then he beats Roger Federer. So it just goes to show you there are other great tennis players out there on any given day, Who knows? Went 5 sets, 4 hours and 6 minutes. I did not think this was even going to be competitive, so good for him. First man from Argentina to win the U.S. Open since Guillermo Vilas did it in 1977. Just goes to show you, Matt, sometimes the underdog prevails even against guys like Roger Federer.
Yeah, I was, I don't know, I was keeping abreast of the situation with the match going on. And then Federer was way up in the second set, so I quit watching it, and I was just focusing on football the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then I checked, I think it was like ESPN's website or something, and all of a sudden it's going into a tiebreak, and I couldn't believe that Federer had lost control of the match like that.
I was stunned, too, because he could have. And even then, when he came back, he could have. It goes to a tiebreak. But if he had won the tiebreak, he would have won the match narrowly. But who cares? He would have won it. So Del Potro wins that fourth set, goes into the fifth set, and Roger was just deflated and lost. Wow.
Yeah, it's not something you see all the time. It's like watching
no.
Tiger Woods lose.
Oh, no. It's just crazy, crazy, crazy. And we're talking about Kim Clijsters winning the other day. She shoots to number 19 on the list after that U.S. Open win. Folks, just so you know, if you have daughters that are good at tennis, there's lots of scholarships out there in the United States for young tennis prospects, and you don't even have to be incredible. I mean, you don't have to be the sensation of the state or anything, but the paycheck, Kim Clijsters and the men, they get the same pay. $1.5 million is what you take home. Wow. That's a lot of cash. That's good. Good for them. They play a lot of tennis. So Serena Williams, there was controversy over Serena Williams and the whole line judge thing. Remember, she went into doubles with her sister. She won the U.S. Open doubles titles, by the way, over Black and Huber. They won 6-2, 6-2. Now there's controversy after the foot fault, the end of her match against Clijsters in the semis. She yelled at a line judge, profanity like you wouldn't believe, right? She's fined $10,000. She gets a written, she issued a written apology on Monday. And in a news conference, she said the line judge was only doing her job and all that other sort of stuff. She's got to be a little worried because now they're talking about the possibility of that she could be suspended for next year's U.S. Open or taking away her prize money to boot. Like I said, it's like the continuing world of outbursts. Crazy, crazy stuff. So once again, that's the big news from Sports Shorts as we lighten the load and give you some water cooler buzz because we're talking about healthcare and all that that entails and how big this week is and what Obama's doing with yet all these 5 television appearances. I think he thinks he's an athlete sometimes, right? Possibly. Says he's transparent, but well, I don't think so. Mark is listening to us in New York. Hello, Mark. All right, we missed Mark. Okay, Mark is out. Let's pick up where we left off on Sports Shorts with what happened in Monday Night Football. And like you can be rest assured, I'm sure the president was watching Monday Night Football, like I said. I think that's part of the deal. Maybe he'd like to be an athlete. So Tom Brady returns. And he returns triumphantly. It was a game that the Buffalo Bills, I think, should have won. It looked like they were going to win this. The Bills had a lead, 24-19, with 2 and change on the clock. 2 and change on the clock. So what happens is, again, of unfortunately, what happened is Brady ends up getting the ball back, and before you know it, next thing you know, Tom Brady, who finished the game with 378 yards passing, they end up sealing the deal and squeak by. The final score, what was it, Matt? 25-24. And special teams so costly for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
right?
I think it was Terrence McGee that fumbled the kickoff right after New England came within, what was it? They came within, they kicked a field goal, and then
right.
They kicked off, and then I think McGee fumbled, and then it was all over from there.
Oh, yeah.
And then
what's the fumble happen?
In the late game, kind of the same thing happened. The Raiders choked that one away.
Yeah, it's been a crazy these last night games with strange plays at the end.
Just happened to me when you're on the air, I think. Thursday night game was crazy. The Sunday night game was crazy. And the two Monday night games have been crazy.
Yeah, there's something about that. I mean, after the fumble, you knew Brady. He was like a missile on the first attempts. Boom, boom, boom. And there's just enough space, and that's all she wrote, and they end up winning the game. It was huge.
Yeah, in the late game on the West Coast, the Raiders, they were down, and it was 4th and 15 from about the, I think it was like the 50-yard line, 45-50 yard line. Jamarcus Russell threw a bomb. The Chargers blew the coverage on it, and so they're up by three, and they let the Chargers drive the entire field in under a minute and score a touchdown.
Oh.
So
you just know fans were going crazy over that.
Yeah, well, it's those inferior teams that can't win the close games.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing. You have to be able to win the close games. You have to be able to close the door. And because you have such a finite amount of games that you play in the NFL, and you look at your schedule and, you know, you got one under the wing, especially the first game out, that would have been a huge boost for the Raiders. Instead, it's demoralizing, you know, to the players on the team. It's one game and you move on. You try to forget it. That's what the players will tell you. Athletes tell you that they don't dwell on the exciting games too much. They don't celebrate too much, and they don't get down on some of the games they should have won. But that's not true. I think they carry it with them a little bit, and it can be very, very tough. How about this for Brian Urlacher? Easy for me to say. Part of the huge reason that the Bears have the kind of defense they have. Out for the season. Wow, I had no idea. I mean, you knew the wrist injury couldn't have been something good, but it ends his year. So after a game where the Bears looked like they were going to win it, the first game out of the chute for them against the Packers, the bigger story now doesn't become so much about that loss and Cutler throwing the four interceptions, their quarterback, but it becomes the Bears linebacker losing him for the season. Lovie Smith, the coach there, has to be upset. I mean, you deal with injuries, that's part of the game, but boy, that's one guy you don't want to see down. So can they overcome the loss of a guy like him? And I'd say it's going to be pretty tough because he's been one of the main components of that defense for a very, very long time. All right, no matter what we're talking about, whether it's sports shorts and the bad behavior of some of the athletes, or the behavior of your president, the fact that obviously he wants to get his message across. So there's lots of television appearances to be had in the upcoming week. Your thoughts on that, or healthcare reform, or any of the other things that we've talked about, or anything that you come up with, shoot it to americatonight.net.
Oh, and remember, next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.